We're drawing to the close of another harvest season. And most thankful we should be because of the favor with which the Lord has blessed us, both for the growth that has resulted in the ripening of the grain and the abundance of it, and also for the good weather that has enabled the farmer to get the harvest gathered in. The harvest always presents great lessons of spiritual truth. And very often, the duty of God's creatures are set out under the similitude of harvest imagery. And as well as that, there are warnings that God gives to us about our response to His word, and such are couched under harvest imagery and similitude. In part of Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28, we have something that jolts our minds to think about the harvest. And I want to read that part to you. The end of verse 28 of Jeremiah 23. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Now you might say, that little phrase has been introduced very abruptly. And what's happening here? Why has it been introduced abruptly? The answer is, first of all, God is showing the importance of His word against the false messages, the false teaching of those who are false prophets. And He does so using harvest similitude. The wheat and the chaff are two things that are associated with every harvest. And this is the wonderful thing about the Bible. So often you find word pictures used. God doesn't use highfalutin language, but God uses language that people can see as well as hear. And this is what He's doing. He's denouncing the false prophets here. And I believe that as we look at this question that God is posing to us, that we'll come to a better understanding of it as we consider the whole context. So we're going to look at this question in the context in which God is giving it here and try to answer it. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Well, I think we'll be helped if we first of all look at the properties of both the chaff and the wheat. And since the chaff is mentioned here first in the text, we'll take the chaff first of all in our consideration. The chaff is noted for its lightness. There is no body, there is no substantiality, no substance to the chaff. It is called something that's light. We read in Job chapter 21 and verse 18 that it's like stubble before the wind, and as the chaff that the storm carrieth away. Psalm 35 and verse 5, let them be as chaff before the wind. Now what the Lord is saying here to us in this little image, in this little similitude, in this little word picture, is that the false prophets that were putting forth their false messages, particularly under the guise of dreams. Now, Jeremiah is not denouncing dreams, because God did appear to His people in both the Old Testament and New Testament in dreams, but never to be put on a par with the revealed or the written word of God. And these false prophets were saying that they had dreams, and they were putting forth messages that purported to come from God, and they were not coming from God at all. God says they're coming out of the concoctions of their own hearts. So when you keep that in mind, God is saying these false messages were messages just like chaff, absolutely light and without body. And I want to say to you today, my dear friend, the modernistic theologian or the modernistic preacher, and I use the word modernistic with regard to theology and with regard to biblical content, the people that take biblical words and put their own slant on their own interpretation and give their own opinion upon them and about them, they are like these false prophets that are bringing forth messages that are like chaff. They're absolutely light and have no bearing in the lives with regard to helping such lives in the individual at all. There's nothing to teach us in the message of the modernistic apostate anything about the inerrancy or the authority or the infallibility of Holy Scripture. In fact, most often they deny it. In fact, if they're a modernistic theologian, they do deny it. That is one of the hallmarks of modernism and German higher criticism. It done away with the supernatural in the Word of God. They will not tell you that God created this earth, this world, in 6 days with literal 24-hour periods, day that we know a day to be. They will not agree that the whale swallowed Jonah. They will not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the water. They do not believe that the only way of salvation is through faith in Christ and in His finished work and in His precious blood. They do not believe it. They are delivering chaff in their messages. And whenever they come to give you comfort on the deathbed, they have no comfort to give. Other than saying, and it's no comfort at all. To a man or a woman whose conscience is bothering them about going out into God's eternity to meet God and they've never received Christ, such will say, ah, you've lived a good life. You've been to church a brave lot. You're a member of such and such a church. That, my dear friend, is the false teaching of the false preacher, and it is chaff. It's light. It's devoid of substance. And it bears no resemblance in actual fact with regard to content to wheat whatsoever. The chaff is not only light, but there's also a deceptiveness about it. It looks like the wheat. It looks like the corn. It looks like the grain. And it's closely associated with it because the wheat comes in that shell of the chaff. There's another parable in the New Testament akin to this, only instead of it being called chaff, the false teaching, and particularly the false teacher, is called the tare. And there's such a similarity whenever the man who was the servant of the man that owned the field went out and had a look. He came back to the owner of the field and he said, sir, did you not sow wheat in the field? He says, I did. He says, tares are growing. And an enemy hath done this, the man said, who owned the field. And then the servant said, well, you want us to go out now and uproot the tares? He says, no, let both grow together until the time of harvest, lest you tear up the wheat as well as the tare. There's a similarity in appearance. There's a deceptiveness. And even in this congregation, week by week, there are boys and girls, there are men and women who have never trusted Christ, and you never could tell the difference between both, the person who's a Christian and not a Christian, if you were just to look at them and consider their character and morals, very often there's a similarity, but the one thing that's lacking is life and vitality and bulk and body and substance. Yeah, the chaff is so deceptive. There's a lightness about the chaff. There's a deceptiveness about the chaff, and there's a uselessness about the chaff. Whenever the farmers in olden times wanted rid of the chaff, they had a process that we'll notice in a few minutes how they did that. But the chaff was of no value, no profit. It was the wheat, it was the corn, it was the grain that the farmer was after, not the chaff. He would burn it up, John the Baptist said. Chaff would be burned up. Let me say to you, my dear friend, that the teaching of the false prophet, the teaching of modernistic apostasy, will never give you comfort on your deathbed, will never help you when you're going through deep sorrow. The only thing that can give you comfort is the Word of God and you accepting it, believing it, and resting on it, the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative work of God. So the Lord says, what's the chaff to the wheat? And the answer, well, no answer is given. This is a rhetorical question in which the answer is just self-evident. The chaff cannot be compared to the wheat. They're two different realms, two different planes, two different spheres. But very quickly, notice the wheat. The Lord says with regard to this question, what's the chaff to the wheat? Let's notice the property of the wheat. Well, first of all, it's planned. The farmer goes out to sow wheat or whatever grain he's sowing, corn or barley, whatever. But in this instance, it's wheat. So he has gone out in his mind, I want the wheat. He's not looking for the tares. He's not looking for the chaff. I want the grain. This is what he's saying. He plans that. He purchases the seed and he does the work in his fields and then he goes out and sows it with the sole purpose of having a crop of whatever type of grain he sowed in the harvest time. That's the first thing about it. It's planned, it's purposed. But there's something else about the wheat. The wheat is nourishing. The wheat provides health. And this is exactly what the Word of God does. The Word of God was planned. The Word of God was specifically given. We read in one of the Psalms, 68 verse 11, the Lord gave the Word. And great was the company that published it. It tells us when the Lord Jesus was being tempted of the devil, and the devil came and said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be bread. And the Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And the Bible tells us that as newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. And whenever Paul was writing his letter to the Hebrews, and he was showing the truth that people ought to have been more mature spiritually than what they were in his day writing to the Hebrews. Yet, laying aside that argument, I want you to notice the two types of believer here and see still the value of the Word of God. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He was saying to them, some of you ought to have been further advanced in the things of God. He says, you're just like babies that need the milk of the word. That was the argument. But the point that I'm after is, whether they were weak believers or whether they were mature believers, the word of God was their food. Chaff can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. But the message of God's word read by you prayerfully and preached by the preacher prayerfully can be food to your soul and it can be nourishing to you. Look at what else he says in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Fire gives light, fire gives warmth, fire melts. A hammer will break the hardest of items with a strong arm. And that's what the Word of God does to us. So whenever you take these things into your consideration, that the chaff is useless and that the wheat is nourishing, then listen to the question, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? And you can see right away, the chaff pales into insignificance when it's set up against the wheat. The message of the false teacher, or even our own opinions and notions about things that are not based on the Word of God, they're just like chaff compared to God's Word. And my dear hearer, when hard times come, when sorrow comes, you want to have something to rest in. Read the Bible. Learn the Bible. Put it into practice. Memorize it as much as you can. And then you'll find the great significance in this question and its answer. The chaff to the wheat doesn't bear comparison. The chaff, the message that is false, cannot give you comfort. But the message described as the wheat will give you all the comfort that you can have. Very quickly, you notice in the second place, what is the chaff to the wheat? Well, let's notice a further answer to that question, passing from the properties of both the wheat and the chaff to the parting of the chaff and the wheat. Now, there comes a time, there's a process that takes place in the harvest season. I want you to think about this. Let's try and go through this process. And if I've left anything out, the farming community here will no doubt put me right, I'm sure. The ground has to be harrowed and prepared at the appointed time for the receiving of the seed. And then the husbandman goes out into the fields at the appointed time, and he sows copiously in that field that has been ploughed up and gotten ready for the sowing of the seed. Now, after that, he can do no more. He's depending on forces that are out of his hand. The heat, the sun, the rain, all of these come. And God does something mysterious and marvelous under the ground. In fact, the Lord Jesus talks about this in Mark 4 in one of his parables describing the kingdom of God. He says, like a man that goes out to sow seed in the ground, and after that, he doesn't know very much about it until he sees the little green shoots coming up out of the ground. And then the ear, the blade on the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And the Lord Jesus says, once that happens, he's in with the sickle, but he doesn't know what has happened. He knows something has happened, but it's out of his power whenever that seed takes to the soil and there's growth. And at the appointed time, there is the ripening, and then there must be the cutting down. So there's the harrowing of the ground, the sowing of the seed, the work under the soil when God's at work, and then there's the growth above the ground, then there's the ripening, and then there comes the winnowing time. Now in Bible days, the way they did it was, they went out and they reaped the sheaves, and they brought it into what was called a threshing floor, and there they beat out those sheaves. And then they got the wheat, and the chaff was attached to it. So what the husbandman did was, he went to an eminent place, he went to a rise, and he took a shovel in that pile of grain, and he shoveled it up in the air, and the wind did its work. And the Bible says in Psalm, the very first Psalm, that the ungodly are not so. And what he meant by the not so was the righteous man who was like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brought forth the fruit in the season. The psalmist says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That's a tremendous truth. I want to just mention to you a few places where we see this. Hosea 13 verse 3. Therefore there shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, that is out of the threshing floor. And then again in Daniel chapter 2, when the Lord was dealing with the four great empires that were to come in the earth from Daniel's time, and then the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that would overthrow them all. This is what he says in verse 35 of chapter 2. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carrieth them away. That was the situation, ladies and gentlemen, that was going to face the wheat and the chaff. It was the chaff that was useless. And whenever the farmer eventually, if the wind didn't carry it away too far, he just gathered up in a pile and he torched it. And that's what John the Baptist said about the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. He says that there would be a great division, and the fan would be in the Lord's hand, and he would purge his floor. The wheat would be brought into the garner, and the chaff would be burned with fire unquenchable. You see the difference in this process of parting. The wheat is precious. The chaff is vile. And the Lord tells us that that false teaching to unsuspecting people can deceive the people. And it's so like the wheat on occasions. The discerning eye can see the difference. And what brings the parting, first of all, is an evangelical ministry that's based on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeks to exalt Christ as the Son of God and God the Son and the only Savior of sinners. And the preaching of his gospel that there is redemption only through Christ and his precious blood. That's the winnowing work. And sitting in services of people will listen to the gospel regularly. They'll come to an understanding of it. And the word of God, it may be unknown to the preacher, will do something in that heart and life that will separate him from others not yet saved. And lead him to saving faith in Christ. Then again, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, if we're alive at that time, there'll be saved and unsaved attending church services together. They'll be at the workbench together. They may sit in the school classroom together. But the great winnowing process will be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, women, before that occurs, and before death occurs, I would urge you quickly, with great urgency and passion, I urge you, turn from your sin now and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And do not be taken up with the notions of modern day theology and the messages of false prophets that abound. But get back to the book. Take Christ, who is revealed as the incarnate Word. Take him into your heart and life. And love him. Serve him. And trust him. The properties of the chaff and the wheat. The parting of the chaff and the wheat. And then lastly, I want you to notice the prospects of the chaff and wheat. Taking the chaff, I've already mentioned that. Let me say that the wind driveth it away. Where to? Well, if the wind's strong, it's blown all over the place. As Hosea told us. It's driven away everywhere. If it's not very windy, the farmer can gather it up and burn it. It's going to be burned. Isaiah 5 and verse 24 says, as the flame consumeth the chaff. There is nothing bright or hopeful or useful with regard to the prospects of the chaff, ladies and gentlemen. And what is there for the unconverted people? What is there for the false prophet who peddles the false doctrine? There is nothing but a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that will devour the adversary. The word of God tells us. What about the wheat? Well, the wheat is a blessing to mankind. It goes on and undergoes another process whereby bread is prepared. The staff of life, the bread, we need it. We don't live without bread. It's a necessary part of our eating, to some degree at any rate. It's the staff of life. The Bible tells us that there's a permanence about the wheat as well. You remember what the Word of God says about itself? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. The dreams and the false teaching of the modernistic theologians and peddlers of their doctrine, they'll all evaporate. They'll all be dissipated. But the Word of God will be profitable to us for all time and in eternity. Listen to the words. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, my dear friend, get to the Word of God. Day by day, read it. Test every claim by any preacher by what saith the Lord to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So that established in your mind that you've got the Word of God in your hand, you believe it from Genesis to Revelation, that it's the inspired Word of God, then read it day by day. Don't pay lip service to it. Don't be like the man of whom James said, he looks at himself in the mirror, sees himself, turns away, and forgets what manner of man he is. James says, that's the type of the man that pays lip service to the Word of God. Let's read it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring it to church with us. This is a Bible-based church. This is why this pulpit is central, and we're all gathered around it, because the Bible is central. Don't come to church if you're a Christian without your Bible. Follow the reading. Follow the preaching and take an interest in what God is saying to us. But that's not enough. Read it day by day. Jeremiah says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Read it day by day. Try to meditate upon, think about what you're reading. Don't read a few verses and say, that'll keep the preacher quiet, and my conscience quiet. No, my dear friend, there's something more. You need to grow in grace. Read it, meditate upon it, memorize it, apply it to your life, and seek to live under the teaching of God's Word. And you'll find that all the vagaries and all the notions of the apostasy of the day and the false preachers and prophets of the day peddling what the Lord is calling here their dreams or their chaff will have no comparison whatsoever with the wheat of a Bible-based ministry and the wheat of you learning God's Word and feeding on it daily. What is the chaff to the wheat? Saith the Lord. May God bless what we've tried to give an answer to your heart and to mine. Shall we pray?